Pastor Buddy, welcome to the Shepherd's Call. Call a friend and tell them we're on Soundwaves 2000 here tonight. Praise Yahweh. This is live and direct. This is Monday, and it is January the 28th. My, how time flies. And we are right in the last days of this month. Praise Yahweh. Matter of fact, it's the middle of the month. If you would look on your calendar, if you would look up last night, I began the phase of the full moon. Now, the full moon is always, if you will, on the 15th day of the month of Yahweh. You see how far we're out? You see how far that Satan puts us out of the time track? And that's his purpose, as we are going to begin to teach tomorrow night on Soundwaves 2000. We're going to teach on the secret times of Sabbaths. We're going to bring conclusive evidence of how that you have possibly been deceived, led astray. I know this is Pastor Buddy. I am a 40-year minister, a warrior, if you will, into the race. Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, you've not always been Christian identity and glory to God. Folks, I've forgot more in 30 years than most Christian identity people know of truth today. Just because I wasn't in truth or in Christian identity, I found more untruths in Christian identity. I have truths to tell you that truth. I do appreciate those that's in Christian identity that have the truth, want the truth, love the truth, and support the truth. But there's as many lies in Christian identity as there is in any other denominational system. What I want the ones that I have known in the past and associated with, I have cut my association down severely in Christian identity. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. No, I wouldn't want anything to do with them. Why? Simply because would you want them to run the country and have an earthly government here? No. No way. My heavens, it would be in worse shape than it is now. I mean, George W. Bush is a asset to the country, as to describe to what compared to be of some of the ministers of Christian identity that I know. I wouldn't want them to run for dog catcher and be elected to the position because I'd feel sorry for all the dogs in the community. Praise Yahweh. So that goes without saying that I don't run with a pack. Praise Yahweh. I'm a loner with a few good men and women that we recognize to be good. And, of course, we know many ministers. I'm not the only minister. I have ministers I love, and I could sit and listen to them preach. You say, well, buddy, you do all the preaching. No, I don't. I do listening. When I'm in a congregation of men that have something to say, you'll hear me shut up. And I will open my ears. I'll take my notebook. I'll copy. I'll record it if I can. I'll take notes. I've learned much from my brethren and also from my great strong sisters in the faith. There's more good women in the faith than there's men. And I say that without any hesitance at all. It seems like that there ain't many men. Most of them have become very effeminate. Most of them are very weak-wristed, if you will. I'm talking about including Christian identity. I met some of the biggest nuts in my life in Christian identity. These are absolute asinine, sick, pukey nuts. Why would I say that about the things that I prescribe to or address to? I do not want anybody to put me in a classification as a Christian. I am the farthest thing that you could ever get from a Christian. So I resent anybody calling me a Christian. Why? Because Christian is something that is so deceitful. There's more lies in Christianity. There's more people being deceived. You say, well, of course, the scriptures that indicate that, Pastor Buddy. Well, let me give you one for example. Many will come and stand before me in that day. I'm quoting actor Yahweh Shua, the coming judge of Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Read it for yourself, and read it in week, by the way, if you're not obedient. You see, the scriptures is given to draw you, or they're given to drive you. And that's what a preacher's for. Now, if he compromises to keep a crowd, you'll see somewhere along the line that the gospel, the pipeline of truth, will quit flowing into that ministry. Because he has now quit feeding the gospel and started feeding the sheep. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be frankly honest with you. There is more deceivers in Christianity than there is in the truth. Why? Because the Bible says they shall stand before me in that day and say, Lord, L-O-R-D, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And you know what the Lord's going to say? Hey, except it ain't going to be the Lord. It's just a mockingly response. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Now, who is that crowd? That's the crowd I'm addressing here. I'm just trying to be truthful and honest with you. There's going to be a lot of Christians that go straight to hell. Now, where in the hell is hell? Well, ain't such. Now, we're trying to find heaven. I know where hell is. It's right here, possibly right in the middle of, I'm living in it, praise God. I have to engage in it every day. This is the lowest level, if you will, of existence for the third dimensional man as he tries to climb back into the heavens. Now, the Bible says you cannot go unless you have a wedding garment on, because some that were found in these higher levels were cast out because they didn't have a wedding garment on. Now, what's the wedding garment? Truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And yet, we've got so many, including Christian identity. You say, Pastor Buddy, you made that remark a while ago. You've met a lot of kooks in Christian identity. Man, I thought it's bad in Jesus' name. But when I crossed over to Christian identity, I met some of the biggest kooks that I've ever met in my life. I'm telling you, I could tell you some hair-raising tales about these people and what they've done, what they've said, and things of this nature. And I'm not into that. I'm not sharing the evils or the faults of others. I'm trying to preach the gospel to a bunch of hard-headed ignoramuses called Christian identity, most of them. Most of them's uncircumcised in their heart. They've got their flesh circumcised, and they're proud of it. They're running around hollering, beating their chest that they're keeping the law, and in reality, their heart is not right with Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would read the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, circumcision is something that we are not to be caught up in, because it is not part of the master plan anyway. Never was. It was just a sign. You say, well, are you circumcised? Of course I am. Well, if I was circumcised as a babe, and I was, through tradition, my mom and dad subscribed to the solution of circumcision. Well, we know also, praise Yahweh, that the parents bought into this Christian dogma that you must be circumcised for some reason to enter to heaven. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know that's not right. You can go to heaven without being circumcised. You don't have to be circumcised, because if you're circumcised, you're indebted to keep the whole law. Well, the Bible said, I give you the law, none of you kept it. It puts you in a class where you are unacceptable, and circumcision is the exception, not the norm. Rather, that the norm is circumcision, and people preaching the law of Moses. And ladies and gentlemen, we have all those Jews, all those slow bellies, all those others, all said, that preach the law and deceive, would deceive the very elect. So circumcision, you say, what does this have to do with?
Where in the hell is heaven? Well, it has all to do with it, simply because we're trying to point you in the right direction. You can't go till you get right. You can't stay until you are right. Praise God. Even if you get there, you're going to be cast out if you're unworthy. If you've never been washed, if you've never been sanctified, and you said, well, Pastor Buddy, you mean that I don't have to be circumcised, but I must be baptized unless you're born of the water and the Spirit. He didn't say unless you're circumcised. Read the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. It settles the issue. A great debate ensued in the apostolic fathers, and in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, it tells you plain that you're not to submit yourself to this circumcision doctrine, because it will get up and you'll get caught up in the flesh, and you'll be running around crowing like a rooster in the flesh, and your spirit will be starving to death for the absolute truths that is right in your
or right under your nose, if you will. Heaven is what we're talking about tonight. Now, remember, we were in the tabernacle that tells the story. Now, let's continue as we talk about the original instruction manual for building the tabernacle. It was very detailed. Many things about its furnishing celebrated the points of Christ, as I've already indicated for you. And in the past, after reading about the tabernacle, I have come to the conclusion that Christ is really the divine pattern. See, do it according to the pattern. And if you will look in Psalms 27:5, it says that in the time of Jacob's trouble, he shall hide me in the pavilion. And if you look at that, in the secret of his tabernacle, as clearly conspicuous from a distance, there he shall hide me, there he shall sit me upon a rock. Oh my, praise Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 10:4, read with me, it says that in the wilderness the Israelites drink of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Are you with me tonight, ladies and gentlemen? What is a rock? This is the third rock from the sun. Well, we're obviously trying to get you from here to the next rock that you need to go to. Where is it? This rock is not symbolic, but literal. Its location is in a secret hidden place, as was his tabernacle. It is clearly conspicuous from earth. It is striking enough to attract attention, and it is obvious to the eye that we know where and when to look for it in the orbital systems as he sits between the cherubim. Now, we're talking about the 10-planet system that is out there, and then we add the sun and the moon, and we have the 12 that we are giving you in clear indication that our Heavenly Father has given the pattern of the 12 constellations, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and they have a pattern distinction to bring you into revelation as to where heaven is. Now, Isaiah 28:13, it shows why. The word of Yahweh is sure a little and there a little. So to the unbeliever, he will not understand, and will therefore, he will judgment condemned, because Isaiah said, unless you accept the principles of the divine teaching, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk. Ladies and gentlemen, we try to issue you here. We spend our time, the sponsors spend their money, and we try to get out the truth to you, though as hard as it may seem, it could possibly save your life. Now, I could go back to teaching the milk and the little twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are thing, and say that Eve ate an apple and everything is okay, and all you got to do is go to the church of your choice and sign the card and confess you're saved and confess Jesus, glory to God, and whatever you are, be a good one, and live in a multicultural society and coexist, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And to love the world and all the people there, praise God. Well, all those things are milk. We are not into milk. We are into they that are weaned from the milk, that are grown from the breast. The word of Yahweh is unto them a precept, in other words, a perception upon a perception. Ladies and gentlemen, I've told you that the multi-levels of perception is that you must study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and by fasting and praying and seeking his face and positioning yourself as a living sacrifice according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, which is a reasonable service. You see, God didn't have to do you any favors. It is in turn, he didn't come to turn you a trick or a favor or to let you be a fleshly, I love mommy and I love daddy and I've gone to Sunday school all my life and I'm going to be saved and go to heaven. That's not necessarily true. You see, when he come, let me show you how he was accepted, just about the way that I find myself, and possibly if you are in the truth, you found your way or yourself in the way, hated. Matthew 22:10, you shall be hated of all people for my name. When you get to divine the true, the living, and the redeeming name of the Creator, you will classify yourself into a minority. You will automatically go to a minority. Possibly you came, let's say, for instance, you came from the Catholic Church, the largest Christian organization in the world, full of more falsehoods than any Christian organization in the world. But what about those that came out of her in the Protestant days when they began to hate the whore and went out from her? They were called harlots. They themselves became worse than she was and fill up the measure of the condemnation that they have this spirit of frog, the leapfrog in the doctrine, if you will, and going into their own mode. And you know, the Methodist theory is, well, work out your own method. That's why they were called Methodists. To hell with that. You don't have a method. You have the truth to go by, and if you're not willing to work it out within the framework of the truth, you can't go to heaven. Where in the hell is heaven? Well, that's our message tonight, praise Yahweh, and we're looking for those that have drawn from the milk, that are weaned from the milk, and that have withdrawn themselves from milk. He that's on milk is unskillful in the word of Yahweh. The way of salvation to Yahweh is plain if you confess him with your mouth. Now, how are you going to confess without a preacher? And how can a preacher accept to be said? And if the preacher comes, he's going to give you the divine oracles of the things that are in the heavens. Heaven is a visible place. Job 37, it has a golden clouds. Job 37:18, it is the Lord's throne, Yahweh, if you will. In Isaiah 66, and it is his throne, New Jerusalem. Revelation 18, heaven is called a paradise. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, and it is also a sphere. Revelation 21:16, it is a solar system planet. It is in Psalms 89:36. It is seen with the naked eye, Psalms 89:36. Again, it has a rocky core, Job 38, verse 37 and 38. And if you will, look at this. The clues all add up to where heaven is. Heaven is a place, a planetary system in the heavens. It is designed exclusively, and the only planet that is shrouded with mystery of the golden clouds and the great halo and the rings, the most majestic planet in the heavens, flying as a star signal, a flagship, if you will, of place where that the Creator and all the good guys, the Elohim, you see, heaven's been washed. Heaven has been cleansed of the fallen ones, the angelic beings, who are now themselves residing on the planet that's in the deep. Now, we covered that last week very clearly on the planet Nibiru. Ancient history will declare to you that this is a planet that wreaks havoc. What is Satan rather than death and destruction and distillia? That's his purpose. And when his planet becomes visible in our solar system, and ladies and gentlemen, I've got frightening news for you. It has been saw. It has been seen. It has been discovered. It is being talked about. Look up the word if you have a computer system. Run your search engine into the planet X or Nibiru, if you will, and you will see this great planetary system described, talked about, if you will, in great detail upon the internet and the work. So do your search there, do your homework. Most people want you to teach them. And then when you teach them, they go behind your back and unteach your teachings. Well, you see, that's a hypocrite, and we don't have any sympathy for a hypocrite. You know, one of the seven things that Yahweh hates, he that soweth discord to the brethren, and he that is a hypocrite. That's two things out of the seven Yahweh hates. And you see, I have the spirit of Yahweh, and so I hate it too. You know, when I get around a hypocrite, I'll let him know real quick, I ain't got no spirit. Praise Yahweh. I ain't got no time to waste on him, because a hypocrite is a deceiver. He'll lick you like candy to your face.
And he'll stab you like Satan to your back. That's a hypocrite. Somebody professes to be something he ain't, or doing his work like a little worm hid behind the four walls, afraid to get out in the real world and look at people in the eye and face reality and talk the talk and walk the walk. Well, you're looking at a man. I'm 6 foot tall. I weigh 210 pounds and every bit a man. Why? Because I was called to preach the gospel. Yahweh calls men to preach the gospel. He don't call these little saw log
little Jake Legged, these little spaghetti-spined backbones, he got men with saw logs to preach the truth, and they have a head, as I have indicated, like Flintstone, and they will preach the truth to every one of Yahweh's sheep that will be willing to hear. Now, they can recognize a goat. I know it says that, and they'll run around to another scripture. You give them another scripture. I know it says that, but then they'll run to another one. You give them another scripture. I know it says that, but you see, something that butts on everything you bring, but. Well, that's one that's ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. From such, withdraw yourself, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You see, if I'm preaching the gospel and I'm in the presence of all these heathen, these hypocrites, I'm telling you, they can't stand in the presence of the almighty anointing of the power of Yahweh. When you bring the power through the word and you're there with the finger pointing right into their face and the conviction. You see, Judas, when he was convicted, went out and it was night when Yahweh brought it to his attention that he was a devil from the very beginning. He knew he was. He got embarrassed about the situation. He left before the foot washing. Well, you say, I've never had my feet washed either. Well, the Bible said it. You haven't? Oh, may, am I digging up things that you haven't done? Praise Yahweh. Well, if you would read the 13th chapter of the book of John, for instance, you might want to read it all. You better get an understanding. And the master, the one that rules heaven, the one that went back to heaven, you say, well, I've got him in me, Pastor Buddy, and I ain't looking for him to come back anytime soon. Well, how disappointed you'll be. Because the Bible said he's coming and every eye shall see him. Every ear which will hear the gospel will be ready. He's coming back with 10,000 times 10,000 of his saints at the final trump when he puts an end to this, if you will, this third dimensional hell that we live in. Now, where in the hell is heaven? Well, it sure ain't here, praise Yahweh, although we have an inward man. That's the man that's got the heaven in him, by the way, and the outward man ain't got nothing but hell. And the more heaven you got in you, the more hell you got outside, because you'll catch it from all quarters. If you've got heaven in you, you're going to know for sure that you've got heaven in you because you're catching hell from all quarters. Well, that's just some information I'll pass on to you. You don't expect of this little trip that the message that I preach will be a bed of roses. I ain't promising you none. You ain't going to have nothing but tribulation. But the Bible said many of the afflictions of the righteous, he will deliver them out of them all, and many are the tribulations. You know, they'd be Paul in the head for preaching this same gospel, and you know, nobody's ever hit me in the head with a rock and live to talk about it. Praise Yahweh. Now, the Apostle Paul was beat till he was senseless, left for dead many occasions. He was beat with whips 3 times. He had his flesh ripped open in his back. You know, they whipped the Messiah. They slashed him 39 stripes with a cat of nine tails, and they ripped the flesh from his rib cage. You could actually see the ribs. Stark reality of his bones sticking out and staring at the people that were flogging him. Paul had, if you will, not to say he was any greater than Christ, but the Bible said if you can do these things, and greater things can you do. So the Christ suffered these things, and greater things Paul suffered. As the Bible says, he was whipped 3 times with a cat of nine tails, 39 stripes, save one. And you can imagine the scars of this lead iglet whip as it ripped. It actually cut and scarred the skin as it came down upon his back and upon his buttocks. No wonder that he said, it is better to depart than to remain, for to die is gain. Man, when you get so persecuted, and the day's coming when we will endure much persecution, and they that live godly in the Messiah, Yahweh Yeshua, shall suffer persecution. Ladies and gentlemen, it's like a hand in a glove. It goes with the product here. The gospel, it didn't come to tickle your ears. It didn't come to brainwash you. It didn't come to give you a bunch of religious rules. It come to set you free. It come to you a man or a woman that is worthy to lay down your life for the defense or for the cause that you stand for. And you hypocrites out there, you weak-kneed, pigeon-toed, cross-eyed jackasses that's braying behind this pastor's back, well, you can rest assured, praise Yahweh, that your words will never hurt me. You must have the gospel to convict me, and if you will, and you're righteous, and you want to change this old wiry preacher, praise Yahweh, then you're going to have to preach the gospel. I'll eat from the gospel, I'll eat nothing else. And the Bible said, you shall know the truth. Well, here we go into the chariot of the cherubim. For is heaven the chariot of the cherubim? Is it real or is it symbolic? And what about cherubim themselves? How can they represent planets? Now, I'm giving you the description of the tabernacle, the things that were contained within the tabernacle as patterns of the heavens. Have you ever heard such a strange gospel? Now, you say it ain't the gospel, it's just your opinion, buddy. You've read that out of the 23rd chapter of your imagination, and you probably got that out of one of them old New Age books. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading out of the Bible, and I am to give you a representation that goes against everything that probably you've been taught. Surely the cherubim and the seraphim are beings of an angelic order. If the true meaning of the cherubim was a hard knot to untie, the chariot of the cherubim was much harder. The words chariot of the cherubims only appear once in Scripture. I want to repeat that for you that never knew it was in there. The words chariot of the cherubim only appear once in Scripture. Now, what was that that came down and picked up Elijah? Oh, that was a little wispy spirit, glory to God. No, it says it was a chariot, same word. Do your strong search and you'll see that it was identical to the same word. You say, well, God don't have to fly around in the spacecraft. Well, how does he travel? Well, you say, well, he's able to walk through the walls. He was. He had a glorified body. He had a spirit body without any interference in the matter. We know that the composites of the matter that we have here, everything is in itself. It is separated by tiny atoms. So there's nothing solid. It looks solid. It looks, and if you hit a board, a note board, by the way, we used to try to build with oak tubifores because the time we were building, oak was plentiful. Now it is an exception, not the rule. So you use pine, and popular today, and it's easy to nail into. But when you were building with oak, and it was seasoned, and you bent more nails than you drove, unless you was an expert nail driver, and the boss at Hard Jones, the carpenter, he could tell in 5 minutes after you nailed the nail whether you was an expert nailer or whether you need some instruction. So if you hard on as an expert carpenter, you got him and couldn't drive 9 out of 10 nails bent, then he knew that you wasn't for the job. He would take you down and put you to probably hauling cement or mixing mortar. When King David gathered the materials together for his son Solomon, remember, David gathered all the materials that was used in the building of the temple that he gave. Gold for the pattern of the chariot and the cherubim. They spread out their wings. They covered the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh. All this, said David, Yahweh made me to understand, writing by his hand upon me, even all the words of this pattern, First Chronicles, I'm reading from, chapter 28, verse 18. Now, here is David, the type of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, same symbolic downloading, if you will, of the divine line of Ephraim, the birthright son, praise Yahweh. And you see, we're the only preacher that we know of that preaches that the birthright son was fulfilled in the Messiah, that he was an Ephraimite, not a Judite. You know how that these poppycock preachers, little jake leg ring arounds, tootsie wootsies, if you will, cootsie cootsies, until you get into the depth of the scripture. Praise Yahweh, and then you'll find that David was not a Jew. He was not from the tribe of Judah. I'm sorry. I make no apologize to you. I'm not going to give you any room for your little worming maneuvers of trying to go to somewhere where the Bible says for you not to go. They run to the genealogy. Paul said, beware of them that bring endless genealogy. And the Bible says expressively in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2, that We are not to reckon the birthright after the genealogy. Did they know that they were going to change it? You see, the Bible says in Luke and in Matthew, two different versions, although we've got those hard heads that still say, well, it's proper. I checked it out, and glory to God, it's right on. And then they go to the downline. You see, they leave out the things that are discrepant. That throws, you see, a little leaven will interrupt the whole process here. If you were trying to get the bloodline of Christ, you're going in the wrong direction anyway, because his bloodline is not to be proven through Joseph. Although... Heaven is. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know where you're at right now, it's evident you ain't gonna know where you're going. So let's solve the puzzle here. Let's get the mystery covered up here while you're here. Notice in the genealogy downline, one says that Solomon was the direct descendant. I never said it was Naaman. Naaman, who are we going to believe here? These are discrepant. The genealogy, somebody has tampered
with the genealogy. He couldn't have it both ways. He couldn't come through both the bloodlines and be true. Something's wrong here. Something's rotten here. And it bears investigation. If you go back into the Old Testament, where is the old parchment, where you get the clues of the identity of where heaven is. It's a pattern. Also, you get the clue of who he was when he came here from a planet that he said he was not of this earth. If he wasn't of this earth, where was he from? It was a place called heaven. Where's heaven? If you look up the word of what the Strong's has to declare about what heaven is, then you might have a little bit more understanding. Now, David understood all the works of the figure, but did not spell it out for us. These are the secret things. We have to solve the mystery ourselves. It's strange that this chariot was not mentioned when the instructions was given to construct the ark, the mercy seat, and the cherubim, and the tabernacle. Here it seems that David was given understanding beyond that which Moses even possessed. The Psalms, he wrote back all this up. Yahweh has revealed his truths to mankind in steps. In Psalms 119, now I'm going to read out of it, verse 99 through 105, David said, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Now why did he say that? And we look at Solomon having the wisdom. Solomon had wisdom of the world. Solomon had wisdom of some of the esoterical things, and he used it to his advantage to become a filthy rich. But the Bible said this wisdom that he had spoiled his integrity and turned him into a Canaanite-loving taxi, if you will, for these women, because when he was old, the women, even women, broke his spirit, just like Samson was broken and sheared by Delilah. Solomon, the one that they want to attach to the bloodline of Christ, he was broken by the Canaanite affections of these heathen. You think Christ is a perfect type to come through that bloodline? You got enough thinking coming. My heavens, praise y'all, get up and smell coffee here. Because we're brewing it. You may not like it because we don't add any milk to it. You take it straight or you get out of the kitchen. I understand more than all the ancients, he said. Now, how do you get this knowledge? Yahweh gave him the patterns, told him how to do it. It was all in his heart. He knew the mysteries before Solomon ever came upon the planet. Now, the temple that Solomon built, I've got news for you. It contained evidence that they also worshipped Baal in that same temple. Not only did they worship Yahweh, they incorporated to appease the political persuasion of most of those in Israel and most of those in Judah who had gone into Baal worship. Solomon, trying to play the political king that he was, installed in the system here a place for both to coincide together. Well, that don't work. Just like when the Ark of the Covenant was taken down to the Philistines, and the Bible said it was parked by Dagon, their god, this great image that came from the constellation of Sirius. The Bible says that the next morning, Dagon had fell upon his face. Now, isn't that wonderful that no truth
or no lie will stand against the truth, and the truth will stand against a lie and overcome it. See, a lie is for a moment. If they can't tell something good about you, they want to spread all the bad they know about you, or at least they think they know. The Bible says don't receive an accusation against a brother except there be two or three witnesses. Yeah, but most of Christian identity is caught up in hearsay. They're trying to murder and trying to, instead of trying to encourage and trying to preach the gospel in fellowship and unity, they're trying to murder their brothers and bring them because they're jealous, envious, hiding behind their doors. When they get into the meetings, they can't face you. They can't look at you. They run and hide when the truth comes. Well, we're not worried about such people as that anyway. We ain't got time for that foolishness. We're going to preach the gospel. How was David, which was a man after God's own heart? He confessed his sin and applied himself to a study of the Word. Yes, David had a man killed. Pastor Buddy's never done that. Just tell his wife. I've had two wives. The only two I've ever had, one's dead and one's alive. The only two I've ever had. I'm not interested in another. I've had an experience with two, and that's enough. That'll do me through my journey here. So praise Yahweh. We're not looking for wives. We're not looking to exchange wives. We're not looking to wives anyway. We're looking to the gospel, and we are sent to preach the gospel. The Bible said the gospel will shut every mouth. Now, I am the Lord. I will be their God, it says in the King James. I am Yahweh. I will be their Elohim. In this case, it's a singular. It's El. And my servant David will be a prince among them. I am Yahweh. I have spoken it. But they shall serve Yahweh their Elohim and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. 1 Samuel chapter 17:12 tells you that David was not a Jew. Now, I don't know how I can get any clear on that message. And yet when your jig-legged preachers that call you up in the middle of the night and want to debate you, they try to avoid or cloud the issue. Well, it wasn't a Judite there, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesse was himself an Ephratite. That means a descendant from the bloodline of Joseph, Ephraim, if you will, and this descendant bloodline through genealogy, except where that the master Pharisees and the scribes have changed the text. And we've got Christian preachers trying to uphold the changed text and trying to prove their point. My heavens, straining the gnat and swallowing the camel is what I see. And in this case, a camel. Praise Yahweh. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? Because David had a divine revelation. He didn't consult Paul. When Paul was called into the ministry, he didn't run down and sit at the feet of Peter and James or John. He got this divine revelation after 14 years. He didn't meet Peter till 14 years later. And he went up to Arabia, which is in the area of upper Arabia, where he sat on the same mountain that Elijah sat in the cave to get his instructions, and where Moses was approached the mountain where Yahweh sat down his mighty chariot upon the top of that mountain. And I have given you, right for a tape, I'll give you a tape, praise Yahweh, that will describe the true Exodus and the route that was taken by the ancient Israelites. This is wonderful news, praise Yahweh, and it is conclusive. It is proof. There's never been one shred that I know of, evidence, of the southern Sinai Exodus route. Why was it all up in northern Arabia? Yahweh hid his needle in a stack of needles. In this case, he hid his sand in sand, praise Yahweh, or the footprints in this. He brought them through the desert, and there is evidence that is still there even today. Now, if you look at Ezekiel, let's tackle the cherubim first now. If we do not understand that they actually represent the planets, we have very little chance of figuring out what the chariot or the cherubim represent. The usual interpretation is that cherubim are one group in the hierarchy of angelic beings, but if you will accept that, then you will have to be corrected, and I'll show you why. Ezekiel had two visions of cherubim. He described them in chapters 1 and 10. Read, if you will, the way that the King James Bible is translated, you can assume that they were living creatures with bodies like a man, except that they had four different faces, four wings, and they were joined one to another, and they had feet like a calf's foot. The figure is not too hard to visualize until you find out that the four faces were of a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you will. If you go back to Numbers chapter 2, that is the divine cosmic layout in the constellations where east, west, north, and south. And the man, if you will, this is Ephraim, the only human, if you will, that's not a choice word, the only Adam man, if you will, that was placed in the celestial equation. Why? Because it represents where the true seed would come from. Where was Ephraim? He was in the west side as the cherubim here. He is positioned in the heavens. Praise Yahweh. And if we go back to who where Judah was, he was in the east. If you go back to where, and Judah represents, by the way, the lion, and if you will go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, you will see the scriptures is in the Greek emphatic. It says that the lamb overcome the lion to loose the seals. Well, we're loosing seals here tonight in Revelation, and a divine correspondence trying to relate to you the actuality of where in hell is heaven. That's our question tonight, and the title of our message, if you'd like to have it, just write to Pastor Buddy at area code. Well, let me give you the telephone number. First, you can call me if you'd like to correspond with me face-to-face through the electronic medium. That is area code 423-626-2172. Now, you can reach me there after 10 p.m. if you'd like to call me. If I'm busy and taking a flood of calls, sometimes I do have many, then voicemail will pick you up and I will return your call on my nickel. Now, how are you going to beat a deal like that? If you'd like to call my sponsor tonight, that's Dr. Gary at 1-877-289-7439. You can call him toll-free. That's Dr. Gary. We're talking about Miracle 2. And other information that Dr. Gary can assist you with. He is a professional, and he has many answers probably to your health problems. He can tell you real quick that if you've got all these dangerous chemicals in your house, under your sink, or anywhere else, you need to rid yourself and do yourself a favor, do your clothes a favor, do your skin a favor by incorporating Miracle 2 into your shower. You can use it to cleanse. You can use it for bathing. You can use it to clean your bathtub. It cuts grease like you won't believe. And you can also have the neutralizer, which is a split product from the formula, that you can drink this internally. Now, it's good for a host of things. I've got a gallon sitting here on the desk by me, and I take an ounce a day, and it keeps old Dr. Jack and Gary away. Otherwise, I have to see them. And Friday night, with the onslaught of the diet that I was on, I found out what my problem was Friday night. I couldn't hardly minister on Soundwaves 2000 because I had such an allergy, something that reflected that I had plenty of problems. I couldn't hardly talk, and I found out I'd been on about a 6 or 7 day all raw diet, and I was detoxing. My heavens, I felt fine the next morning, but that night I had a miserable time, and I didn't know what in the world was coming down on top of my head. And having gone through this many, many times in the past through fasting and things of this nature, I should have known, but it slipped up on me real unaware, and I thought I was coming down with some kind of a hideous thing, and lo and behold, I found out I was out of neutralizer. Well, needless to say, I rushed and got me a whole gallon from Eric, and praise Yahweh, and got back in to my norm, and tonight, I feel wonderful. Praise Yahweh. I feel like I'm about 16, and I'm ready to go for another 3 or 4 hours on this great message of where in hell is heaven. Now, if we look at Ezekiel, he had two visions, as I said, of cherubim, and you will find them in 1 and 10. Now, it's not hard to visualize until you look at the interpretation of the ox. And if you will look at the four wings and the ox and the creatures and stuff and the man and stuff like this, you're going to find that you're going to have confusion. Now, to add to your confusion, if you look at Ezekiel 1:13, it says that they were like burning coals or fire of lamps. Now, what would be better than to describe the planetary system as Ezekiel was taken up in 1 and 10 in some kind of a craft? He was looking around. And he was meeting these creatures, if you will, and seeing these places. These living creatures with bodies like a man were like burning coals. Now, if you just do some thinking, What is this other than the constellations? The stars are burning atomic furnaces, and no, these are, in reality, living creatures. Before you can figure this out now, you've got to go to look and use your imagination, go into the heavens, and you'll find the place of the cherubim inside the wheel structure. This is in 10 and 9 Ezekiel. It says that one wheel is by one cherub, and another wheel is by another cherub. Hey, that's strange. Next, the living creatures seem to be spirits, for Ezekiel 1:20 says, wherever the spirit was to go, they went. Whether there was a spirit to go, however, in the next verse, you'll find, that the spirits of the living creature was in the wheels. Something was wrong with your visualization if you visualized it as a living creature other than what it was actually intended for your spirit mind to comprehend. How could a spirit like the likeness of a man be in each of the wheels and within the wheels? As these wheels spin rapidly in verse 14, it says that the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, if you're in the heavens and you're seeing these great orbs that go through their orbital rotations, then you are knowing what Ezekiel saw. He was taken up in a craft, yes, praise Yahweh, and for that, these secrets of how and where is heaven is thoroughly revealed. Now, I've talked about the planet Saturn. I would like to give you the description of this great planet. It is a beautiful orb, if you will, in the heavens. Now, if you will notice here, Edom, in its description, means red. That's Satan's color. And Obadiah 1, verses 3 and 4, Yahweh went beyond Edom and addressed Satan. Evidently, Satan was king of the planet Rahab in the past and is still king of an asteroid or a wayward planet, which we believe he's on. And we do believe he's due in here, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Satan and his mighty ones. You say, are these little spirits? Satan is a spirit. Pastor, buddy, glory to God, Satan is a spirit. Well, I'm sorry for the futile exercise of your search. You will find that Satan is never listed as a spirit. He is a created being. Let me repeat that. He's not a spirit. He wants to be the spirit. He wanted to exactly exalt his throne above the stars. He sought to be master of the whole universe. He had nothing in doing creating the universe. He was the second in command, standing at the right hand of the authority of the Mighty One. This is the eternal spirit that brought it forth with the intelligent beings as the recipient of that which was created. Now, man as a lower creation, if you will, in Genesis 1:26 and 27. In the eighth day, he was made a flesh man, and this spirit being, Adam, one half of him anyway, was brought down into a flesh container. Now, he had a blushing ability. He was made from the earth, and he blushed red in the face, or showed color in the face. This is what the word Adam means, along with the atomic structure of his flesh body, fearfully and wonderfully made, then to look back from which he came, a transplanted, before he was ever in the earth, he was in the heavens. And he's going right back from whence he came. The Bible said there's an inward man and there's an outward man. There's a lot of foolish men and women in the world that don't know what that means. How can you have two beings? Well, it's a mystery, and the mystery is that you have a spirit body, and you have a flesh body. The spirit body was the one that should have come and should have been given life eternally, here to live eternally. I'm talking about without any death upon the earth. And he was to dwell in this eternal flesh body, a clothing, a shield in this dimension. It is nothing more than a dress, a garment, if you will, of flesh. Remember where he sewed them coats of skin? Have you ever considered that that would be your skin, bodies, ladies and gentlemen, praise Yahweh, to cover you with after the fall, that he had to be covered with a protecting layer to keep encased, if you will, the spirit and keep it protected. Now, we know that the Bible speaks about a cord attachment that ties the two beings together. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the inward man and the outward man, the silver cord that is mentioned in the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, where it says that the silver cord, or the golden picture, is broken, and then man, the inward, takes his long flight home. You say, well, now where's the scripture that says that you're going back? The Bible says you're going to lay over in that old graveyard, glory to God. Well, listen to the scriptures. This is in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts 7:59. And they stoned Stephen to death. This flesh body was literally being stoned to death. And Stephen cried his last uttering breath, called upon God, and said, Yahweh Shua, receive my spirit. The spirit goes back to him who gave it, and the body goes back to the earth, the flesh man. I don't care how you bury him, that body is deteriorated, and it will go back to dust, and there is no other body for that spirit man. He will never take up that body again in the eternal. Now, he may come back as a worker or as someone that is down here on a mission, or he may be reassigned. That spirit then may be reassigned many times to this experience until he gets the message. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you believe in that old reincarnation? That's from the devil, glory to God. Well, if you'll read the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, you'll find that Elijah was, in fact, the perfect being. Now, he didn't know he was, because you see, Yahweh pulls the cord or the plug or the tape out of your memory banks as you're coming back into flesh bodies, and therefore, in the conscious mind, you don't have a revelation or reality or, for that matter, a remembrance of where you've been. Had it been, then you would be of all men most miserable, knowing that you were in the eternals and that you were in the heavens in your long home, and you caught yourself in a flesh body. You see, the flesh man thinks he's home, and he is. He's of the earth earthly. But the second Adam is from heaven. My heavens, let's wake up and get the program down right, and they won't have an understanding. Well, my time is gone, ladies and gentlemen, and I apologize for that and how this hour has flown by. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I will come back and I will continue the series on Where is Heaven? Heaven Found. I will bring several more. It seems like I'm going to have to. I will teach on this at a later date. Tomorrow night, we're going to get into an exciting subject. We're going to get into the hidden days, the secret times of Sabbaths. And we're going to expound, if you will. We're going to revelate. We're going to bring a system, if you will, a formula, which has been kept secret from your eyes, purposely hidden by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jews. Why? Because, and the Romans and the Greeks, praise Yahweh, are just as bad and deceptive, because they themselves have invented them a calendar and devised a certain mathematical formula for dividing the times. Well, the Bible said in Daniel chapter 7:25, they will think. They're thinking about these things. They have ancient men of old condemned for this condemnation, ordained for this condemnation, brought into the world for this very purpose, to change times. Now, if they change it and you went along with it, then you are deceived and you're at the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, if you can bring back or recover yourself out of the snare of the devil, find out the true dates and the time set, then you can meet your Heavenly Father, who, the Bible said, heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. He looks down and sees what happens with man. His eyes run to and fro in the earth. Now, we understand that is a spiritual ability, because it would be impossible for two sets of eyes to see everywhere at the same time. In this case, we're talking about a spirit. We're not talking about, the Bible says that he even knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. It leaves, if you will, a little shock wave, a little tremor, that runs through the electromagnetic system and the grid system of this earth, and there the giant mind of Yahweh, the giant computer, the great spirit he is, registers everything that is going on at any given time, not only upon this little ball of dirt called earth, but also the universe and everything that is contained within. It's called worlds, not world. You see, most people limited to a world mentality when they should get a worlds mentality. Look up the word worlds and you'll be pleasantly surprised that they may be more than one. Praise Yahweh, and that it's inhabited with intelligent species that is looking over the affairs of man and will take you captive if you surrender to the fear, ignorance, and superstition of most of the doctrines and the dogmas that's going around today. Well, Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call, you listen to it on Soundways 2000, how we've been enjoying this this message here on Where is Heaven? We have concluded it tonight. We will get into our next message as I've indicated. And let me give you a little information on how that you can contact Pastor Buddy. Area code 423-626-2172. That's the telephone number. If you come here at the studios, I'll be available here. And if the line's busy and you get voicemail, just leave your name and telephone number. Tell me who you are. But if you'd like to email me, if you're on computer downloads, and you probably are on Soundwaves 2000, if you're on computer downloads, then simply email me at ejohnson, at E as in eagle, ejohnson, lowercase, all lowercase letters, ejohnson, E-J-O-H-N-S-O-N, at wwgap.net. Now that's ejohnson at wwgap.net. That's all that you'll need. Now, if you'd like to write me a letter, and I appreciate those that have written me, those that have contacted me by any means, and we've made fellowship. I'm making many friends at the expense of Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack, who are sponsoring me here, and I get to talk to all these wonderful people. They don't get many calls to support our product, and I'm disappointed in that. I would like for more people to call. You don't have to order anything. Just call these wonderful men up and just talk to them and tell them that you're listening to the Shepherd's Call, and I'll be delighted. You can write me at Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284. The zip is 37824. That's how you get into us. Well, our time is almost coming in. I got a couple minutes to talk to you, praise Yahweh. And we don't know what the schedule is coming up on Truth. If we did, we would announce it for you, but our good announcers will be along to give you the programming. Stay tuned on Soundways 2000. We are really enjoying our experience here. Praise y'all. We'll get the second hour, and we come off of Truth Radio, and we get on to Soundways 2000 with the second hour. And that gives this old pastor here a privilege and an opportunity to preach into depth and to explore some of the uncovered possibilities, and we try to go into the extreme so that we can give you a fresh insight. We do preach principles, fundamental doctrine of salvation by repentance through grace and baptism in the name of Yahweh. That's our message to a lost and dying world. Now, when you get into the covenant, when you are ordained into the Melchizedek priesthood, which is what we do, and you know, you need to know all the rituals about that and how that is done. We can give you maps and charts and information on how to conduct yourself, we think, in a way that the ancients did. What's the first thing that Noah did when he landed on the ark? In the 8th chapter and 20th verse of Genesis 8:20, he didn't run to Burger King. He didn't have it his way. He ran down and built an altar and called on the name of Yahweh. What did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David, and all the other brethren do? They built altars and made a covenant of salt. And we're still in the ancient process of building altars with 12 stones with the names of the 12 tribes written thereon according to the book of Joshua and the book of Exodus chapter 27 and other scriptures that we've too numerous to mention, praise Yahweh. And we get our direction from Numbers chapter 2, and we've described to you that is the constellational pattern in the heavens. So heaven is a pattern indicating, as we have here, the worship service on the earth, a pattern of direction in the heavens written in the stars and in the planets. Where is heaven? Well, it could be closer than what you really believe. Sometime in the future, man, we've already, listen to me very carefully, we already, at this moment, there is flying toward the planet of Saturn, is a satellite to go into deeper, more distinct detail of some of the hidden secrets underneath the golden clouds of the great planet of Saturn. Now, what do you want to bet that most of this is kept secret? If they succeed, we don't know whether they will or not. We do know that some of the attempts of the past mysteriously have been avoided. What force did it? We don't know. Who's out there? We know. Praise Yahweh. But we understand that we're not alone in the universe. That's what we teach, that we're going to be visited by the Eternal One. Well, this is Pastor Buddy. I've got to go. See you tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Soundwaves 2000. Yahweh bless you, Jacob Israel.
Evening on this same station. Praise Yahweh.